Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're gonna get hard if you play us.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, baby. We're going to get to that hard in a minute. We're going to get to that hard in a minute. Before we get to that boner. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That thing's making its rounds. There ain't no doubt about it. Not the boner, the hard. The Astros right now, boys. 82-69. 82-69. 5 games up in the AL West. Ron, it looks like you're going to get what you asked for. They got 1 game left with the Padres, and they got a 4-game set at home versus the Angels, and then that 3-game set versus the Mariners at home. Boy, all hell would have to break loose if the Astros don't have a nice little cushion going into that 3-game set versus the Mariners. So it looks like you're going to get that. Then the Astros have 3 at Cleveland, and it doesn't look like that game is going to mean anything positive for the Astros right now. I think they're 4.5 back. The Cleveland squad. So I think it's probably a long shot for them to catch Cleveland.
We'll see what happens, because they do have them head to head to end the year. So
for 3 games, for a 3 game set at their place. So it's possible, but it doesn't. Again, for the Astros to catch Cleveland, the Guardians, then all hell would have to break loose for Cleveland. For the Mariners to catch the Astros and make that 3 game set. In a week or so, make that mean something. All hell would have to break loose with the Astros. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it looks like the season's gonna end pretty much where the Astros are at right now in terms of what their playoff picture looks like. Which right now they'd be at a wild card. Would you say versus the Twins?
Yeah, as the 3 seed against the 6 seed, the Twins at Minute Maid.
And last night they won the second game of a 3 game series with the San Diego Padres 4-3. San Diego Padres is a really good team, as Ron mentioned earlier, playoff team. Guys, and there's a couple of things that stood out. Look, I mean, obviously the lead story here with this Astros game last night, Astros win 4-3, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned that, in extra innings. So that extra innings awful record, it improved by a game last night. The Astros won an extra inning game.
6-10, how about that?
Come on, man, 6-10, we're coming on up.
6-10.
Yes, the Astros, hell of a job right
Coincidence?
There.
Coincidence? I think
good,
not.
Good tie. It's easy to go to the officiating, which was absolutely awful. It's easy to go to the Altuve ejection. Altuve ripping his shoe off, ripping his sock off, showing the red mark on his right big toe, I think it was, left big toe, I guess it was, that the ball left. A situation where it's so silly that the umpires can't get that right, whether it's an ego behind the plate not asking for help, or it's just the way baseball's set up to where you can't immediately go to a review and get that call right. I think the silliness of that, Altuve said, to hell with it. I'm going to match it. I'm going to take my shoe off out of here in front of God and everybody else, and you have to kick me up out of here. And that's exactly what happened. It's easy to go to all those things, Ron. It's easy to go to all those things. But we got to talk about 2 guys. And you want to talk about baseball boners, those kind of things? These guys do it. Hunter Brown went out there, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs. Now, he did not get our strikeout bet, so yeah, I lost $72.
There was some change in there too.
Yeah, 72 something. Yeah, I'll get that cash apped over. But 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs. good little night out for Hunter Brown. No surprise. It seems like he's hit stride, and he's kind of established himself as the two starter here as of right now. And a lot of confidence in Hunter Brown. So the bar is already set pretty high, Ron. When I watch Hunter Brown, the bar is already set pretty high. I don't know about you, but it seemed to me that Hunter Brown last night, there was a little different intensity level. I don't know if it's the Padres at their place, better team. The atmosphere in the first two games of this series clearly was closer to playoff baseball than what happened earlier in the season. I don't know if it's just that, hey, we're getting close, and so guys' minds are getting right. But when you watch Hunter Brown, he didn't have many strikeouts. He had three, but he struck out a batter, and I don't remember what inning it was, and I don't even remember who the hitter was, to be honest with you. But he struck him out to end the inning, and the fist pump, the pep in his step, the emotion once he got back to the dugout, it was super intense. And it was a Hunter Brown that I don't know that I'd seen yet. Obviously, the confidence was there. The stuff was there. But I know the intensity's high, and I'm going to match it. And at the time, it was 2-0, by the way. He had a shutout going. I don't know that I'd seen that level of Hunter Brown yet. And I'm going to tell you, it was beautiful to see.
Yeah, he did seem like there was a little bit more in this game for him.
Seems like he's coming into his own, you know what I mean? He's no longer that guy that looks up to Verlander, that guy that – I'm sure he does. I'm just saying in general it's not as – it seems like his swag and his energy and everything, the vibe right now with Hunter Brown is I'm here, I belong, and when I'm on the bump, you're going to have a long night.
Well, you've experienced this as a player – and Tyler and I and others have experienced as just fans. Some games you're just into more.
Yeah.
Some games you come out and the focus or whatever you're into. He certainly seemed like he was into, like you said, maybe it was Machado and Tatis and taking on that challenge.
Yeah.
Of a good baseball team and going up against King, who's been having a really good year as well. I don't know. He did seem like he was fired up.
You mentioned one guy, Ron, and that's really when I said, well, this is real. When Machado hit the home run off of Hunter Brown, it was 2-0, should have walked him a couple times, I think. He ends up hitting a bomb, and obviously Machado knew it was gone when he hit it. He stands at home plate. When they flipped the camera around and they showed the view from the pitcher, and maybe this is Machado's style all the time. Maybe he was just doing what he always does. I don't know. But in my mind, as I'm watching the game, he hits the home run, and you can see his eyes go up, and he's looking at the ball as it's leaving the park. And then he looks down at Hunter Brown like as if to say, hey, pump the brakes, young fella. Chill out a little bit. You know, you're a little too hype right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
ballpark.
They probably saw that.
Yes, absolutely, they did. I think it was. And Machado may be a trash talker. I don't know. I don't watch enough Machado baseball to know if it's every time he hits a home run.
He's out. He pimps him. He's not Surrey. Nobody is, but right. He pimps him.
But I greatly appreciated the fact that in my mind, as an Astros fan, in my mind, I said, Hunter Brown's in their head. Now Machado obviously hit the bomb, and he was getting back in his head. But Hunter Brown is like this is real right here. The vibe is different right here. Hunter Brown is on a whole nother level. So for me, Hunter Brown number one. Not his best game, but a really 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 good game. 95 pitches, 6 innings. Again, 5 hits, 2 earned, 3 Ks. Only walked one. Gave up that home run to Machado. But the vibe and the back and forth with such a great hitter. In that moment, and a great hitter acknowledging, hey, you need to pump your brakes a little bit. I like that from Hunter Brown. And the second guy we got to talk about, how in the hell did we get, how did Hector Neris fall back in our lap?
Yeah, he was a Cubs closer and had some struggles, but the Cubs, they've done this with a couple of guys where they're just like, all right, man, maybe trying to get out of money or let's just look. They have let several guys move on, and they weren't completely out of it. And Hector Neris has been huge. When you already have those three in the back end, and I don't know, for me, Presley is a bit shaky at times. And to be honest with you, Abreu has been a bit shaky here of late. That's another weapon that you have. And now, to me, however you take, you got four guys that have real experience and can still get people out in the back end of that bullpen. And the postseason is a lot about bullpens, and as early as teams go to them, they're used a lot. Yeah. How many weapons do you have? And he is a huge addition to that group.
I think I probably relate to Hector Neris more than any of those guys you're talking about. I just relate, like, clearly the other three guys.
You're a hell of a celebrator? Is that
what? No.
Does Neris run out of gas a lot?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. I hope he doesn't as an Astro this time.
Neris is an aggressive celebrator.
Yeah, he is.
He's got the underdog mentality, and it seems like to be on the same playing field as Presley and Abreu and Hader, and to be side by side with those guys, he's got to live on the edge. And I mean, like,
I think that's the way he has to pitch.
Yes, that's why I like him, though. It is like the crap he pulled last year with Julio Rodriguez. Like, that doesn't, like, when I'm watching it, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he did it again. Like, it would not have surprised me if he did it again last night. He gets to the bottom of the 10. Bottom of the 10th inning. And of course, I'm going, why is Hader not going out for another inning? But okay, Neris, cool. I like Neris. Let's see what the big fella can do, right? Start with a runner on second. Wild pitch, he goes to third. You're living on the edge, Hector. You're giving him third base, right? Then he walks the next hitter, right? By the way, walks the nine-hole hitter to get to the leadoff. The leadoff grounds into a fielder's choice to shortstop. Great play by Jeremy Pena. Right, standing right behind the pitcher's mound, makes a good play, looks the runner back to third, throws him out at second, I believe. So you got first and third, one out. You got first and third, one out, Ron. It's a 4-3 ball game, bottom of 10, and he's got Tatis, Profar, and Machado staring down the barrel. And my man gets up there and strikes out Tatis. And it was one of them, like you talked about, Diaz at bats. Like, that was an at bat for Tatis. I was like, you're better than that. He swung at a couple of bad. Yeah. Hector had him off balance from jump, right? And then the so-called hit pitch on Profar, which was not hit. It was up and in, but he was not hit. So now you got bases juiced with Machado at the plate, and Neris didn't blink. He got a solid hard hit baseball back up the middle and an unbelievable play by Gray Kessinger to get out of the inning. But the no flinch mentality, I know that's coach speak, but it's real in Hector Neris's case. I love thinking that we've got.
Well, he's fearless.
That's where I was going with it.
There are certain guys, like, he's not afraid to throw his fastball. He's not afraid to throw his. There are some guys, if you hit a pitch or you've hit a pitch before, especially out of the bullpen, because they don't want to get hurt, they'll just come off whatever, even if it's their best pitch, they'll come off and just throw. He is not afraid. And I think he has to get himself, and I know what you said on the edge, because someone texted in on the Champ Slice on YouTube and Twitch said, heart attack Hector, because sometimes these innings just don't roll through easy. He's just living, living on the edge, but living on the edge and getting out of innings. But I think he has to get himself in a certain space of intensity to go out there and pitch. Like, I think he has to take it up a whole notch where it's almost I might get ejected or piss somebody off.
And that's why I like
to be in a
bullpen with the guys that he's in there with. In order to stay side by side, not fall behind, he has got to live on the edge of crazy. He's got a pitch on the edge of, I don't give a rip. Who's at the plate? I'll buzz it under your chin. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know. I don't know how he fell in our lap, and I may be dead ass wrong for this, but when he's on the bump as an Astros fan, I feel comfortable. Probably more comfortable than I should feel. Because let's be honest, you want to talk about living on the edge or as a fan, like Hector Neris making it interesting. Hell, this year, all these sumbucks that we've mentioned, could be a closure that's coming out of the bullpen.
Late relief.
Every last one of them will give you a heart attack.
Is there anybody in the bullpen when they come out, you're like, 1, 2, 3?
Oh, yeah, Abreu and Hader, I think this is 1, 2, 3. And then my heart gets to hurting when they walk.
Yeah, I was going to say, Hader, yes, I still think. But it isn't just like there were times where, maybe not this year or last year, whenever Abreu came out, I'm like,
nails.
Yeah, yeah. They got problems over there. Like, Abreu had pitched like that, I'd say 2 years ago, whenever Presley came out. Feel pretty good. It's just clockwork. I don't know that I feel the same way about Hader as I did like Abreu last year. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel, but like you said, it's like as soon as somebody gets on with a walk or something, or you see that he is clearly out of the zone and it's going all over the place, you're like, oh God.
Because people
touch up Hader for home runs a little more than you would think with how good
well, he's
his
so
stuff
daring
is.
With his fastball that they're going to guess right from time to time, right? And you're throwing that damn hard, it's all you got to do is barrel it up. And this season ain't nobody. Like, you, that's a great point. Like, to me, last year, I'm with you. When Abreu came out there, it was like lights out. It's game over. And I don't necessarily feel that way about any of these guys. I'm overly confident with all of them, of course. But I don't necessarily feel as confident as I did with Abreu last year. Did you guys see this? Speaking of, Tyler, you opened the segment with getting hard. I think people are stealing my mistake.
Oh, hell no.
I'm telling you, people are stealing me. Bussing with the Boys. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. Bussing with the Boys. I'm a fan. I listen to some of their content.
You're gonna get hard.
Yeah. Guess what they do? They take an image of D'Amico Ryans. And in quotes, "You're gonna get hard if you're playing us." Didn't cite me or nothing, man. Didn't cite Sports Radio 610 or nothing.
They just said it.
It's on this.
That's straight up plagiarism.
It's an image they posted on their Twitter.
Be better, guys.
Didn't even give me any love, man. "You're gonna get hard if you're playing us." And it said D'Amico Ryans on late hit versus Caleb Williams.
Why do people like to just leave out the hit?
I mean, I did it as it was a legit accident for me, but
they've done it and left it up there.
They clearly it's some kind of joke.
Yeah.
Or they misinterpreted it as if it really happened and didn't listen to the real audio. They didn't take the time to circle back.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You're not alone. I mean, gonna get hit hard.
Yeah, look, man. I mean, it's really. My wife was asking me about it last night. Had some guys working at the house this morning. They were like, "Yeah, we heard you made a mistake yesterday."
Oh, she didn't know about it?
She saw it on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Tyler posted it. She said, "What are you in there talking about hard for?" I said, "Did you listen to it?" She said, "Yeah, I listened to it. I didn't really understand what was going on." I said,
classic.
It's part of life, man.
Listen, it happens.
Stay hard, babe. Stay hard.
Always.
Or just get hard when you play the Texans. You're going to get hard when you play the Houston Texans. All right, coming up, Baker Mayfield had some good thoughts about a player in the NFL that, well, a lot of people are giving up on. Baker had some thoughts and going the other way. We'll discuss what he had to talk about in that player coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Tomorrow. What is tomorrow?
Thursday, Chief.
Sure the hell is. It is Thursday, Thursday tomorrow. And we start a little tour at Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball. We'll be there for the next Tomball. We'll be there. I know how y'all get. We'll be there for the next couple of weeks. It is the location 14215 FM 2920 in Tomball, Texas. 14215 FM 2920 in Tomball, Texas. Come hang out with us a little Thirsty Thursday. And listen, I talk to a lot of people who come out and see us on Thursdays and on Fridays, and I let them know. They're like, "Oh, you win things? Yeah, yeah. You win gift cards." And the last 3 weeks, we have hooked people up with tickets. And
holy cow,
that will not stop tomorrow. If you come on out to that location in Tomball, we will hook you up. Potentially, you give yourself a chance to be hooked up with Texans Jags tickets. So come on out, have a good time, hang out with us. Good food, good drinks, good time. The Bud Light girls are out there hanging out. Bud Light sets the stage and hooks you all up with a ton of things. Always a good time that has had out there. So come on, hang out with us tomorrow. All right, Clint, I was looking at this from Baker Mayfield. He was talking about Bryce Young. He said Bryce Young's story is far from finished. He said, obviously, my career didn't happen in the same time frame as Bryce, but quarterback is hard, especially for young guys when you're not surrounded with the pieces and you're not given the opportunity to have success, Baker Mayfield said. And Bryce Young could just dream and pray of the Baker Mayfield situation. Not only has he improved as a player, but he has made money. I will say their situations are a little different. Baker broke some rookie records as a rookie in Cleveland, so we haven't seen really any promise of Bryce Young. And my thought is, since he's been benched, and, you know, who knows? Dave Callis, what's his name? What is that man's name? Dave what? Callis?
No.
It's not Callis.
Gosh dang it. His dad, his family, I crossed paths with his
anyway,
with
just, his I need to see it.
I guess his dad. Canales.
Canales, yeah, not Callis. Canales. Dave Canales, the head coach in Carolina, he said that Bryce is our quarterback. And, you know, he said that the other day, but then promptly benched him. And so it would seem like maybe his time in Carolina is done. But do you get the sense that he's done, or is there a place where he can be saved? Is there a like, because to me right now, the next space for him, the next move for him could be to get somewhere where he improves and he learns the game as best that he can and just improves in being a quarterback. I think Mitch Trubisky did that, and then Mitch Trubisky left Buffalo and got himself another opportunity to start in Pittsburgh. Now, it didn't work out, but at least that's what the plan, you know, you would hope would it be. Baker kind of did that. Went to Carolina and L.A. and then got himself another opportunity in Tampa. Is Bryce just done, or do you think there is somebody, there are at least some options out there that could potentially save him and turn his career around?
Oh, I think there's options out there, and save is a relative. I don't know. We don't know what the kid can or can't do. All we do know is that Carolina is an absolute dumpster fire and has been for the last two or three years, and they haven't done anything to right the ship at all. Like, you look at Houston. Houston was a dumpster fire. They fired Bill O'Brien. At the end of the day, ended up getting Jack Easterby out of the building. They spent 2 years. Yes, they had lame duck coaches, but at the end of the day, Nick Caserio was behind the scenes, and winning wasn't a priority. He was behind the scenes getting this roster right and preparing the roster and getting the draft capital and getting the salary cap right so that when he found his guy, both head coach and quarterback, he could hit the ground running. So I know in D'Amico's first year here and in C.J. Stroud's first year here, we hit the ground running, but really there was 2 years worth of prep for that timing to be right for D'Amico to be able to come in and literally take off from the moment he stepped foot in Houston, right? In Carolina, it's been mishandled the entire way, right? They fire one guy in Ron Rivera that they didn't like. Who'd they hire after that? The guy that's in Nebraska now?
Yeah, Matt Rhule.
That didn't work out. Bounced him up out of there. Hired Frank Reich. That didn't work. Bounced him up out of there.
At 10 games.
And so these weren't all holdover coaches. These were legit coaches that they thought were going to turn the organization around and couldn't do it and were gone within a matter of 2 years. And Frank Reich's tenure, 1 year. So it's just been an absolute mess. I'm not familiar with their salary cap and all that, so I don't know exactly what that part of it looks like. But there's no doubt about it that Bryce Young has – I don't know who he is or how high his ceiling is at the NFL level, but there's no doubt about it that he's had the cards stacked against him in the Carolina organization to date, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I look at that, and if he gets out of there, places that would make sense. And you would think of guys who have had different type of quarterbacks, really good offense and creative minds, and guys that have maybe had smallish guys.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, for Tua – and you may disagree, Clint. I don't think it is, hey, let me go to the place where I have the best opportunity to start. I think it's, let me go to a place where, you know, I have the best chance to get better and to improve. And to me, like, I think Miami with Tua and what Mike McDaniel has been able to do and size would make sense. Obviously, like, Sean McVay has been able to do things and it makes sense. Like, places like that, to me, would make a lot of sense rather than, hey, let me try to go somewhere, you know, like maybe Tennessee where they've got a, you know, I got a chance to maybe start. I think he needs to go somewhere to get better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you got to go somewhere where it's established and it's plug and play and you've got all the pieces around you, a good play caller, an average to above average offensive line, great weapons. You've got some scheme that's established. It's not new to everybody there. So, look, there's a handful of teams that are going to need quarterbacks. You mentioned the Titans, the Giants, the Jets at some point in time soon, the Raiders. You know, those are teams that, like you said, could need a quarterback and you'd go there to start. But I've heard two guys, Dan Orlovsky and Chase Daniel, both have mentioned the Rams. And the only reason I bring that to air is because if those guys are mentioning it, clearly there's a reason why the Rams, because Matthew Stafford obviously is playing, has the ability to play well. And really, if everybody's healthy, they've got championship aspirations. They believe they can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, girl.
And when it's all said and done, I don't know if they're bringing him up because he's older or if they know that there's something Sean McVay's ready to start over and that organization's ready to start over. But I've seen two guys talking about it. And I think Bryce Young on the West Coast in a Rams offense would be a – Sean McVay's got everything established there. It's a place where quarterbacks can have success. And I could get down with that. Bryce Young in a Rams uniform, starting over there as they rebuild, not rebuild, but as they kind of reboot, if you will, that Rams organization. If indeed Matt Stafford, one of the deals that Chase Daniel actually threw out there.
I was going to say, that's where Baker went. Baker, yeah, that's the last
one. That was one of his stops. But one of the interesting things is like Chase Daniel threw it out there is if Stafford, it's a three-team trade, Stafford goes to Miami and Bryce goes to the Rams and then Carolina gets like the Rams second round pick and the Dolphins third round pick or something. So everybody ends up winning in the deal. I found that interesting. I don't know. I could see him in a Rams uni for sure.
Yeah. And to me, but yeah, you could, but working with Sean McVay would be
absolutely
the thing that helps him. So I hear that. It looks like he's probably done in Carolina. And honestly, the way he's played, it looks like he's just somebody who may be done, but there's got to be some stops, and I hope he makes the right decision wherever that is. Coming up next, we'll hear from our guy. It's Wednesday. It's 4:40. Texans report with our guy, B. Scott. He's going to join us coming up next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, B. Scott, he'll lay down for somebody, but I don't know. I don't know who that is.
No one's supposed to know. You don't kiss and tell, or lay and tell in this case. No one's supposed to know.
Sometimes you
just
do.
Stay hard, man.
I'm trying.
Stay hard. I'm trying. You play the Houston Texans. You know what to do. All right. It's 4:40 Texans report here on Wednesday. And B. Scott, you were out there at practice today. You were out there listening to D'Amico and CJ. The big day when we hear from the big guns with the Texans. I'm actually, this point, I'm going to let you kind of take the lead because there's a lot of news today. There's a lot of news from the injury front, especially Brevin Jordan being placed on IR. Certain guys that didn't practice. For you, though, being out there, being in the room, listening to everybody, getting a feel of it, what for you feels like the big story coming out of Wednesday's practice and media?
Yeah, so the big piece of news is that both centers, the first string center and the second string center, were working off to the side, did not formally participate in practice, right? They were basically doing individual workouts, like y'all have seen how injured players do, off on the side field. And then the way that they were talked about it in the, you know, in the media availabilities after practice, as if, you know, Juice Scruggs would not be practicing, and that Kendrick Green, the work that CJ Stroud, I actually asked him about this directly, you know, developing the relationship and how difficult that is, developing a relationship on the fly, or when the center is changing week to week, what the challenge is of that. He had to deal with that quite a bit last year, and even now more so, three centers in 3 weeks possibly, going from Scruggs to Patterson and likely Kendrick Green. That was the big piece of news, that it looks like Kendrick Green is going to be the guy that at least starts this week. We did not realize that Jared Patterson had that calf injury until we got out there in practice and saw him working off to the side with a big wrap on his calf. So you've got that. And then Nico Collins, this is actually something that I didn't necessarily notice in real time. Maybe took it for granted. But Nico Collins shows up on the injury list, or I'm sorry, on the injury report with a hip and a foot, you know, not practicing today. And I did not see him in the locker room either. So those two pieces are the big ones. I would say Brevin Jordan would be a third, but that's also significant to lose really your number two tight end for what looks like the rest of the season to a knee injury. Did not know he was injured either until earlier today.
This feels the rest of the season is what
it looks like.
The word is with Brevin.
It looks like it. It is, and y'all could hear the way they talked about it, like almost memorializing the dude. Yeah, I mean, when you talk about somebody like that, and he lands on the injury list the way he did, it makes you feel like that thing's pretty much a wrap.
Well, I know you were saying that you felt like the center. It felt like the way CJ was talking when we had him on here live earlier.
I agree with you. B. Scott, I mean, if you just listen to the tone on both those guys, Brevin Jordan and then the center situation, it just sure seems like the tone and the vibe in their comments is it's going to be a little bit longer term for Brevin Jordan than just the 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever the hell it was. And then with the center situation, it sure seems like Kendrick Green is who they're leaning into at this point. Which, look, I don't know what options they have. If somebody can't practice, and Kendrick Green's obviously the guy. The other thing, the running back situation. With I'm less worried about Joe Mixon's ankle and a little bit more worried about Damian Pierce's hamstring. That could be one that could be a little bit more longer term and obviously could be more of a problem. Managing that ankle is one thing, but a hamstring can take you out for weeks and weeks and you don't have a choice. So two of your top three running backs, with the third being the one that fumbled on the goal line last week, that could be a concern. How you feel about it?
I think that goes to show you how much news we're talking about, that would end up being the fourth thing that we would bring up. But it is significant. I thought, going into the day, we were watching out to see if Joe Mixon and or Damian Pierce would practice, and we're at least anticipating that one of them might practice and that both of them wouldn't. And it seemed like all of us got to talk to Cam Akers today. And the way he talked and the way we talked to him, the vibe and the feeling was that he would probably see a lot of snaps. I am anticipating it being, or at least at that time, was anticipating it being Cam Akers. Now, D'Amico did at least leave the door open. And, D'Amico does not say a lot about injuries. D'Amico Ryans doesn't. But he did say, we're still holding out hope. That was an exact quote. Still holding out hope that Joe Mixon can go. So I view the Mixon thing a little bit differently than I view, say, Juice Scruggs and Jared Patterson. I don't think that they're playing. I think Mixon is still a long shot, but at least a possibility. But past that, it's the same situation in that both the top two guys are in question between Mixon and Pearson. It looks like you're going to have to rely on Cam Akers. And can he carry the entire load? Like, who is it beyond that? Is it Cam and Dare and British Brooks or some combination of somebody else that they might bring up? Like, I think an overall theme was that, hey, that run game is in peril right now between the center situation, the running back situation, and I know Brevin Jordan's, calling card is not necessarily run blocking, but he's been putting his head out there to make some things happen in the run game. He's contributed. So overall, the run game, I feel like over the last couple of weeks and today specifically, has taken a hit. We'll see how they respond.
Well, the interesting thing, too, with that run game you're talking about, B. Scott, is the guys you're going to have to lean on. You're going to have to ask Cade Stover to not just be a fullback and focus on that. He's going to have to do some tight end things. Not that he's incapable, but he's a rookie, and you're going to have to expand the Cade Stover package. Kendrick Green at center. Obviously, we're three centers deep, and you didn't want to be dependent on him at center at this point in the season. Cam Akers, which I'm cool. I think Cam Akers can definitely tote the rock and carry the load, and will be fine. I want to see it, right? I mean, it's still, you're not real comfortable about it when your top two guys are out, either way, any way you slice it, whether you like Cam or not. The guys that they're going to have to lean on, you mentioned British Brooks, another rookie. Are we really ready to lean on him? And you look up and you got Kendrick Green at center, Cam Akers in the backfield, maybe British Brooks in the backfield, and Cade Stover with his hand in the dirt trying to help a run game. That's asking a lot of guys that probably hadn't been asked to do a lot in the NFL yet.
And this is on top of the fact that they didn't run it well against Chicago.
Yeah.
And they ran it well against an Indianapolis Colts team that was revealed to us over the last 2 weeks now, with 2 weeks of a sample size, might just not be that good in the run game or in defending the run.
Yeah.
So there already is an existing question of, how good is this run game anyway? Now, we believe in Joe Mixon, and I think the offensive line, when it's right, can be better than what it showed in that first game. But they are without Juice Scruggs. I mean, we are having this conversation. So, run game takes a hit. And then you're talking about playing against the Vikings. Man, they lead the league in sacks. And pass pro ain't been exactly what you want it to look like. And you're on your third string. You know, you're on your third center at this point. Lost a tight end. Lost a couple of running backs. Pass pro already needs to look better than it did before. Now you're going against a Vikings team that poses a threat that it does. Plus, Brian Flores, we know how he does things. Like, to me, this is going to be an interesting matchup.
Brandon Scott with us, Texans Report, as he joins us each and every Wednesday. He was out there at practice and out there talking with DeMeco and C.J. Stroud and in the locker room. To that point, you know, every week, you know, the Texans are pretty good at giving a lot of respect to their opponents each and every week, whether it's true or not. Would you say, though, in this case, this is the toughest task they've had to face in the first 3 weeks, even with Sam Darnold as the quarterback? I don't know if we knew walking in that the first three games, the toughest game potentially would be the Vikings. Do you think that is actually the case, especially hearing from what they've been saying this week?
Yeah, the only commonality with this game and the previous two is that they're going up against a quarterback where you know for sure that you have the better one on the other side, and that guy is not proven. Now, Sam Darnold has more tape than Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams combined, so you're probably leaning in the other direction. Now, Clint is high on Sam Darnold's, like, tangible talents and everything, but we got enough evidence to kind of tell us what Sam Darnold is. But to me, and I've been saying this for a few days now, what is scary about the Vikings or what's threatening about the Vikings has so less to do with Sam Darnold and so much to do with what's around him. The fact that they're running the ball very well, the fact that they're getting to the quarterback, it's a well-rounded team, and Sam Darnold finds himself in a perfect situation and has the skills that Clint talks about when you combine that with being in just the right situation, with just the right coaching, with just the right personnel. You got Justin Jefferson. We'll see how limited he is or is not. But you got a run game, and you got a game breaker at wide receiver, and you got a defense that's getting after it. This offensive line is performing well. The running backs are getting yards after contact. Like, everything around him is working out. It'd be hard to really mess this up, especially with all his experience.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's now.
Well, it's the first time, in my opinion, and so, and I'm sure there may be stretches of games somewhere, but it's the first time that Sam Darnold has legitimately had an organization around him, an offensive play caller around him, and a supporting cast that literally all he's got to do is show up and throw the football well. right, execute the offense. The other places have been extremely dysfunctional, with the exception of obviously the 49ers where he backed up. You look at Carolina, you look at the Jets. I mean, it's their laughing stocks of the NFL, especially when he was there. Now, how much of that was on him? I don't know. I'm sure some of the blame goes to the quarterback, and he clearly didn't handle those situations well and perform well. But I just, like, there's something to be said about, all right, can an organization do more with less at quarterback, or are they dependent on that quarterback to be a game changer week in, week out? This is an organization, it seems to be wired in a way 2 weeks in, to where you plug a guy in that can throw the ball around the park a little bit and not turn the football over, then the offense is going to be just fine. They're going to score points. They got weapons. They got a great play caller. The opportunity is going to present themselves. Then I think there's a chance that Sam Darnold can play well and cause some problems because of what he can do physically.
I don't feel as silly saying this, especially after them beating San Francisco, but this is a very similar situation to the one that he just left in San Francisco, except for the opportunity to actually play.
Yeah.
Like we said, in San Francisco, he was, you know, he was on the bench. In this case, J.J. McCarthy gets hurt. They don't have a whole lot of better options than him. He gets the op and can take the opportunity and make the most of it because of what's around him.
Yeah, great, great skills around him. Justin Jefferson also practiced today, and so he is looking like he is en route to play in this game on Sunday, and he changes the complete thing. So, tough. You were hoping this would be the week that the offense broke out a little bit from what they've had the first couple of games, but we'll see who's out on the field.
Yeah,
that's going to be
easily their biggest challenge of the year so far out of the three games. Just like, there's no question about
that. Most complete
that.
Team, right?
Yes.
I mean, we thought the Colts
and
were, but when
coach.
You look at it, they're just not quite there yet. And I think it's the most complete team that we face so far.
Their biggest weakness is the quarterback who is playing well.
Right, yeah.
And so, has a coach that knows how to put him in his best situation.
Right.
And a pretty good defensive coordinator. All right. That's B. Scott. Catch him at sportsradio16.com, where you can find all his stuff basketball season. Check out H-Town Hoops. You know you can find him and Adam Spillane there to get you all ready for all things
Rockets. Get you getting hard.
I was going to say all things ready for Rockets basketball, but if you want to go there, I won't stop you. Coming up,
let's
a little
go,
five. Rockets. Thank you. Thank you, Maldi. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you ready for the Astros, as they've got a little bit of an early one against the Padres. Look to try to win this series tonight. Framber, see if he can continue being what this version of Framber in the second half. And we'll get you caught up with all the injury things, not just with the Texans, but some major injury news to contenders around the NFL. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.